We've been working our way through Luke's Gospel, and a few weeks ago we began this series which is called The Beatitudes. And I made the point then that one of the things that we see in the Beatitudes, perhaps the most important thing that we see in the Beatitudes, is the answer to that question that Mike asked in his family talk, what is a Christian? We are looking in these passages at the marks of a Christian, those marks that identify a Christian. Now, I made the point a few weeks ago that this is one of the most important questions we can ask and answer, what is a Christian? And the reason why it's so important is quite simply this, that only those who are Christians will enter heaven when they die. Now, many people, as we've seen before, have their own views of what is a Christian. And there are people who say, well, if you're born in Britain, you're a Christian. If you're born to Christian parents, you're a Christian. If you go to church on a regular basis, you're a Christian. If you say your prayers, you read your Bible, you're a Christian. But we need to understand that actually our definition has to come from the Bible. It is God's definition of a Christian that matters, not our own thoughts. When God judges us on the day of judgment, He won't say to us, what is your opinion and do you pass the test according to your opinion? Our opinions don't count. God says, this is my test, this is my view of what is a Christian, and if we pass, then we enter heaven. So we've been looking at these various definitions of a Christian in these Beatitudes. And this morning we're looking at this passage from verses 37 to 42, and there are three things that this passage teaches about a Christian. The marks of a Christian, three things from this passage. And the first is this, a Christian is gracious and merciful. A Christian is gracious and merciful. And that is the first is 37 to 38. Look at those verses with me. Jesus says, judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. Now let me just clarify one point briefly before I actually explain this passage. Jesus isn't here speaking about sin. Jesus isn't saying, if you see your brother sinning, you mustn't do anything about it. They say to yourself, well, I mustn't judge whether it's sin or not. We're not talking about sin here. There are passages in the Bible that are very clear when they tell us that if you see your brother sinning, you must take action. If you see your brother falling into adultery or lying or stealing, you must go and speak to them. And you must take every action possible to bring them to repentance, that they might be restored to the Lord. So this isn't talking about applying God's word and God's law. What is this about? Well, this is about the person who has a critical spirit. It is the person who has a number of standards that they have invented. Do you remember when we began looking at the Beatitudes, I made the point that when you look particularly at Matthew's Gospel, but also here in Luke, Jesus has in mind the Pharisees of his day. Now he's speaking to his disciples, but the background is the Pharisees of his day and their behavior. And we've seen before that the Pharisees had all these rules and regulations that you had to live by. They weren't in the Word of God. How long should you travel on the day of Sabbath? Should you eat an egg that your chicken has laid? We looked at these things before. And they made up all these rules. And so they would say, if you walk 100 meters beyond what we have stated, you should travel on the Sabbath, you have broken the law and you're going to be judged and condemned. It was applying their own principle. You know, friends, sadly, there are Christians who are of a judgmental spirit, a critical spirit. People who are narrow-minded. People who are always fault-finding. People who are always rejecting others, censoring others, finding fault in others. People who will always examine other people's theology. Now, I'm not saying theology is unimportant. Of course it isn't. Theology is of the greatest importance. That is why, from this pulpit, we preach theology. But I am saying that there are areas where we as Christians can disagree. There are areas in theology where born again evangelical Christians will not see eye to eye. And there are Christians who will cast anyone away who does not tick every box that they have created, who will not live up to the standards that they have themselves have created, and they will reject and censor people who will not agree with them and live according to their way. And this is what Jesus is speaking about here. He's speaking about that narrow-minded, critical spirit, always judging, always finding fault, always criticizing, always condemning. That is not a Christian. And Jesus says here, you do not judge, you do not condemn. Instead, you forgive and you're generous with your goods, you're generous with your giving. The mark of a Christian is that he's gracious and merciful. Now, why is that? Well, the answer is very simple. It is because that is a reflection of our God. Our God is generous. Our God is merciful. Our God is gracious. Our God is compassionate. Our God is big-hearted. God is not mean-spirited. God is not tight-fisted. God is not always judging his people, always finding fault, always criticizing. If you're a Christian here this morning and you have that view of God, can I say this to you? You have misunderstood God. If you're a Christian here this morning, your Father in heaven loves you. Your Father in heaven has compassion and mercy upon you. Your Father in heaven treasures you and values you. Your Father in heaven has sent his Son for you. And the Lord Jesus Christ came with grace. It says he came full of grace. And the Lord Jesus Christ lived his life for you. And the Lord Jesus died on the cross for you. This is the grace of God, the mercy of God, the compassion of God displayed at the cross. And how can we then, claiming to be God's children, how can we then be mean-spirited? How can we be those who are always finding fault? Is that how God deals with you? Do you find on a day-to-day basis, you're a Christian here this morning, do you find on a day-to-day basis that God is always pointing out things in your life? That you got that wrong again. You've done that wrong again. Is that how God deals with you? Of course he doesn't. God loves you. And he pours his mercy upon you daily. And he considers you of the greatest value because he gave his Son for you. So how can we then, belonging to a Father who loves with such a big heart, how can we then reject people? I've made this point before, that when we read in the Bible of God's works, we see his great heart. Isaiah in chapter 55 says to the unsaved, he says, come to the Lord while he will seek the Lord while he may be found, and come to him, and he will abundantly pardon. That word abundant occurs in the Psalms and occurs in Isaiah. He will abundantly pardon. Do you remember that incident in the wilderness where the people had no water and they complained to Moses and they grumbled before God? And they said, when we were in Egypt, we had wonderful food and we had water. Here we are in the wilderness. We have no food. We have no water. We're going to die. They murmured and complained and displeased God. And God said to Moses, there's the rock. Go and speak to the rock. And Moses falls into sin. And Moses doesn't speak to the rock, but Moses strikes the rock. The people sin. And Moses sins. And the Bible says, the water came abundantly. It wasn't a little stream that came out of this rock. The water gushed out abundantly. It wasn't a little rivulet that came out. It was a vast lake that came. Because God is gracious. God doesn't deal with us according to our sins. But God is big-hearted. And God loves to bless His people. Micah says He delights to show mercy. And so God gives to His people these great blessings. I was with a member of the church on Friday. We were reading the parable of the prodigal son. And I love the NIV in that passage because I think they've got the translation correct. Because in the NIV it says that while the son was still a long way off, the father saw him. And he was filled with compassion towards him. He was filled with compassion towards him. The ESV says he had compassion. That's not the best translation. He was filled with compassion towards this young son of his who had taken half of his estate, gone into the land of sin and wasted all that money and had now come back. And the father's heart is filled with compassion and the father runs to the son and the father hugs him and puts a robe on him and sandals on his feet and a ring on his finger and says to his servants, let's kill the fattened calf for this son of mine was lost and is found. He was dead and is alive. God is generous. God is big-hearted. God is gracious. God is merciful. And God is compassionate. How can we be mean-spirited, tight-fisted, and always judging, always finding fault? That is not the mark of a Christian. So that's the first thing this passage teaches us, that a Christian is gracious and merciful. Secondly, this passage teaches us that a Christian is wise and discerning. A Christian is wise and discerning. Will you look with me at verses 39 to 41? He also told them a parable. Can a blind man lead a blind man? Will they not both fall into a pit? A disciple is not above his teacher. But everyone when he's fully trained will be like his teacher. Now what is Jesus saying there? It's actually up to verse 40. What is Jesus saying there? Well, Jesus is actually making two statements of fact. It's a very simple passage, really. He's making two statements of fact. The first statement is simply this. If you are blind, you don't ask a blind man to guide you. If you're blind and you want to go shopping, you don't say to a blind man, will you lead me because I want to go to the shops today? Of course not. That's a statement of fact. He makes a second statement of fact in verse 40. He says the disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone when he's fully trained will be like his teacher. What he's saying there is that if you sit under the teaching of a certain person, you listen constantly to the teaching of a certain person, you will imbibe their teaching, you will imbibe their views, you will imbibe their ways of handling the Bible. That's a fact. You know, you go to church every Sunday, you listen to a certain preacher. And you may not recognize this, but over the years, if you go for a number of years, you will increasingly imbibe the views that that person is preaching from the pulpit. That's a fact of life. It's true not only in theology or in Christianity. It's true in everything. If you wanted to study a degree in politics, and you went to a university which is far left wing. And every lecturer, every professor is far left wing. And every lecture is preaching or teaching left wing politics. Well, of course, after 3 years of this study, you will imbibe it. Or you go to a university where the entire political faculty is somewhere to the right of Genghis Khan. Really right wing. And preach only right-wing stuff. Of course you'll imbibe that. Now why is Jesus saying this? Well, Jesus is saying because this is true, you have to be wise and discerning with regard to whom you listen. You have to be wise and discerning with regard to what teaching you sit under. There are many churches in this country. And praise God, many churches give good, faithful, biblical preaching. But there are many churches where good, faithful, biblical preaching isn't found. The internet is a great blessing. You can find all manner of teaching on the internet. You can find all manner of Bible teachers on the internet. And praise God, many of them are really good. I mean, I listen to preaching on the internet a lot because there is a lot of very good preaching and teaching on the internet. But there's a lot of preaching and teaching on the internet that is actually harmful to your souls, that will actually take you away from the Lord, that will lead you into heresy and error. There are wonderful Christian books available. You go on Amazon and you perhaps type, I want to buy a commentary on Romans or something like this. And Amazon will immediately come up with 150 of them. Many of them are very good, but many of them are poisonous and they will preach heresy. So a Christian is wise and discerning. He knows that the teaching he listens to, he will imbibe that teaching, and that teaching will influence him, and he will become more and more accepting of that teaching. Be very, very wise what you listen to on the internet. Be very wise what books you buy. If you need help, you want to listen to a series of sermons on the internet, you want to buy a book to teach you a book of the Bible, please come and talk to me. I'll very happily recommend you websites and books. But be very wise, because these things will, of course, have an impact upon your soul. So a Christian is gracious and merciful. A Christian is wise and discerning. And then thirdly, a Christian is meek and humble. The last few verses of this passage, the last two verses, verses 41 and 42. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, brother, let me take the speck that is in your eye, when you yourself do not see the log that is in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, then you will see clearly to take the speck that is in your brother's eye. Now this obviously goes back to what he said in verse 37, judge not and you shall not be judged. In a sense, those are bookends to this little bit of the Sermon on the Mount. But Jesus here is speaking about humility and meekness. And Jesus once again is addressing the spirit of the person who believes, I've got it right, I know it all, and I've got myself sorted out. I've got my theology sorted out. I've got my rules for the Christian life sorted out. And I know exactly how we as Christians should live and behave and worship. And anyone who goes against what I believe, well, they've gone against the word of God, and I reject them. It is this judgmental spirit, this critical spirit. And Jesus uses what we call hyperbole or exaggerated speech in order to make his point. He says, you have a brother and he has a speck in his eye. Well, we all have faults. There isn't a single person in this room who is perfect. We all have faults. If you look at me very carefully, you don't actually have to look at me very carefully. You just have one quick look at me, you will find all kinds of faults. We all have faults. So Jesus says, you look at your brother and you see the speck in your brother's eye. But he says, you yourself, you don't have a speck in your eye, you have a log in your eye. And so you, with this log in your eye, you go to your brother and you say, see that speck in your eye? I will help you to get rid of that speck, because you're not doing things the right way. You know, you haven't got the right way of worship. You haven't got the right way of living the Christian life. I will take that speck out of your eye and I will show you. And Jesus says, you hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye. Then you can see clearly and you will be able to take the speck out of your brother's eye. A Christian is meek and a Christian is humble. And a Christian is very aware of his or her own weaknesses. There is great danger in pride. We know this. The Bible speaks about it. Pride goes before a fall. And how the person who thinks they've got it all sorted out, they've got all their theology, all their practice sorted out, we know what a dangerous thing that is, because it makes us proud, it makes us arrogant. That is not a Christian. I was reading to someone on somewhere this week, I've forgotten where, but we were reading Matthew's Gospel chapter 11, where Jesus says, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And in that passage, Jesus has a description of himself. And Jesus says, "I am meek and lowly." Isn't that a lovely description of Jesus? "I am meek and I'm lowly." He's not proud. He's not arrogant. He's not dismissive. He's not the kind of person who casts people away. He's meek. He's lowly. He has come to our level and he ministers to us at our level. So a Christian then is a person who is gracious and merciful, not a judgmental, a critical spirit, always finding fault and always rejecting, but one who is generous and big-hearted. A Christian is wise and discerning, and a Christian is meek and humble. Now let me say this before I finish. Perhaps as you've looked at this, this has searched you. It's a searching passage. It's a challenging passage. Perhaps you say to yourself, "I've failed so often because I've criticized people. There have been times when I've had a critical spirit, a judgmental spirit, and I have been censorious and I've cast people off." Well, I say to you, praise God, there is always hope because Jesus died on the cross. We're about to come to the table where we remember the death of the Lord Jesus. And we all, as we examine ourselves, let us come with hearts of thanksgiving that there is forgiveness in Christ. However bad we may have been, however censorious, however judgmental, however critical, however dismissive of others we may have been, we have a Savior who forgives sin. We have a Savior who died on the cross. We have a Savior whose blood washes the foulest clean. Praise God for the blood of the Lord Jesus. So as we come to the table today, come with hearts of thanksgiving that there is forgiveness at the cross. But also as we come to the table this morning, let us remember this is more than forgiveness. This is an example for us. This is Christ displaying his big heart. This is the Father displaying his grace, his mercy, his generosity. This is our Father saying to us, "This is who I am." And let us therefore seek to be like him. Praise God for his grace. Amen.